Good morning, everyone, and welcome to one of the most exciting lectures, which is exercise. It's really hard to know what's the most important because everything is very important. And if you miss one out, it's almost like you missed a piece out of the jigsaw. God designed this living machinery being daily activity, and in that activity is its preserving power. So what's a preservative? It's something that stops you going bad or off. And when I meet people in their latter years of life who are looking very good, I already know they must be exercising. And remember, muscle knows no age. Whether you're 9 or 90, you can have strong muscles. Earlier this week, we talked about many ladies so unfortunate that are having vaginal prolapses, uterine prolapses, also bladder prolapses, and it is not necessary. And we also discussed how it's so unfortunate that the doctor sews mesh there because sometimes the mesh doesn't work and you've got all sorts of problems. The problem's not the mesh. Well, what is the problem? The problem is the lady doesn't realise that because she has not been exercising, her muscles are getting very, very weak, very, very soft, and the poor doctor goes in to stitch things up and he can't stitch it up. So he has to put some mesh in there. So please don't blame the mesh and please don't blame the doctor. They're doing the best they can. So what's the problem? The problem is education. The problem is that people don't realise they've got to keep these bodies in good working order. You have a look at the intensive program that Olympian champions go through. Well, we're training for something more important than the Olympic Games. We're training for life. And we're training for those latter years of life that we should be enjoying. God meant for us to enjoy our life every minute of the day, not just when we're 9, but also in our latter years. So what does exercise have to contain for it to be a preservative? The most probably effective exercise that can be done today, and all the experts agree, is the high-intensity interval training. And as the name implies, these are intervals of high intensity. So what's the high intensity? That's anything that will get the heart rate up, get your breathing increasing. We've been talking about those deep breaths where you breathe in 3,600 mils of air and breathe out 3,600 mils of waste instead of the 500 that you're doing as you sit here. So what you do to get high intensity, you can run. Not everyone can run. I run uphill, so that certainly gets it happening quickly. And how long do you do it for? The experts agree that 30 seconds is a good amount. Now, if you think 30 seconds isn't long, try it when you're running for your life. When my body gets to 20, my body says, that'll do. When I get to 25, my body says, this is getting ridiculous. And when I get to 30, I almost feel I'm dying. That's what it's got to be. And remember, I'm running uphills. I don't quite get that workout running straight. And if you have big hills, sometimes all you need to do is walk up that hill. So what can you do if you can't run? Exercise bike. Exercise bike's handy because you're holding on to something and your legs are going and you can make them go really fast and you can make them go slow. So recovery time can be probably about 90 seconds. Recovery time is an indication of your fitness. So if your recovery time at the moment is 3 or 4 minutes, that's perfectly fine. Because as you go through this every day, you'll find your recovery time will get less and less. So your fitness is not dependent on how hard and fast you can go, but how long you take to recover. So you can exercise bike, push-ups. Not everyone can do push-ups, but I think everyone can do push-ups on the wall. Also, rebounding. Now, I have a little rebounder here, and I've got the Rolls-Royce of rebounders here, which is a Belican. And one of the reasons why it is so much better than many rebounders is because it's got rubber instead of springs. And you see, I hardly have to move. I'm hardly moving at all. And if someone cannot do much, this is all I have to do to start with, or they can just go like that. If they can't even do that, I think everyone can do this. And then, of course, as you go, you can do more and more. If you jog on the rebounder like this, you'll get high intensity quite quickly. We'll get back to the rebounder in a minute. So your high intensity is basically, it's got to be what works for you. And if you can't do much at first, if you can only do 7 seconds, that's perfectly fine. And I know I've heard people speak here this week how they're able to do more now than they could, how long have you been here, 5 days? And that's the beauty of exercise. It doesn't take long once you start. But of course, what you're also doing here at Living Springs Retreat is you're drinking adequate water, you're having minerals, you're having food that vitalizes you and nourishes you, you're going to bed early. So you're doing a whole lot of things which also influences your performance in exercise. Then it's done usually for a cycle, and this cycle can be anywhere from 3 to 6 cycles. Obviously, the more you do, the more effective it is. Doug McGuff, in his book Body by Science, he says all you need, if you get to do this, is 12 minutes a day. You do 6 of those, that's 12 minutes, that's not much at all. One man said to me, he said, you don't understand, Barbara, I don't have 1 hour to do a 5K jog. I said, Dave, you don't need an hour, you need 12 minutes. We're such a fast society that this is a very attractive form of exercise. You just got to find out what works for you. What I'm incredibly grateful to Doug McGuff for is he takes you inside the cell. This week we've gone here a few times, so we're going to go there again. The CBD of the body, the central business district of the human body, is the inside workings of the cell. The glucose goes in, it goes through a 20-step pathway called the glycolytic pathway, and that gives us 2 units of energy. The end result of the 20-step pathway is a chemical form of glucose called pyruvate. And pyruvate, as the chemical form of glucose, gets fed into the powerhouse. Now, this little pathway is called the powerhouse because even though it's only an 8-step pathway, it delivers to us a very impressive 36 units of energy. The difference is oxygen. So this pathway is an aerobic pathway because it uses oxygen. This pathway is an anaerobic pathway because it does not use oxygen. It produces its energy by the process of fermentation. As we looked at this week, on the high carbohydrate diet, releasing huge amounts of glucose into the body, you've still got a lot of glucose left over from going through the pathways. So now the liver specifically causes the glucose to be stored as glycogen. Looks like a little bunch of grapes almost, but they're little molecules of glucose and they're called glycogen. They're just waiting there to be used. And on your morning walk, when you start running out of fuel, because you're running up hills or you're running on the rebounder or you're on your exercise bike, the body starts plucking. It plucks a molecule of glucose, puts it through the pathways. When your body begins to require, it's already there. It's in your muscle cell. It's like in a prison in your muscle cell. It can only be used by your muscle cell. And as we looked at earlier this week, on this high carbohydrate diet, when the pathways are full, when the glycogen stores are full, then the liver causes the excess glucose to be stored as fat. Now, what I want to show you this morning is I want to show you how exercise can reverse the whole process, which is good news. Good news for so many people in America today who are carrying too much weight. This is one of the best kept secrets in a very effective weight loss program or even weight maintenance program. So let's have a look at when a person is getting to the end of the first high intensity. They're getting to the end of their 30 seconds high intensity, 20 step speeds up. That's not a surprise. 8 step speeds up. But what I didn't tell you is that the 20 step pathway is a very fast pathway and it consumes huge amounts of glucose. The 8 step pathway is a slow pathway. Now, while you're sitting in front of me right now, these pathways are threading very nicely into each other. But when you start moving, and both these pathways speed up, more pyruvate is going to be made than can be fed into the powerhouse, because there's an 8-step pathway in there that'll always keep this one faster, this one slower. So more pyruvate's being made than can be fed into the powerhouse. So the body stores it over here as lactic acid. We've all heard of lactic acid. Now, I think the most exciting thing about this presentation is what I'm about to show you now. When you're in recovery time, so what's recovery time? I'll show you recovery time on the rebounder. When you're in recovery time, this is a good recovery. This is a good recovery. Recovery, it's far better to do that than to just lean against a pole and breathe deeply. So if you're not on the rebound, your recovery time could be just twisting, could be stretching a little bit. It could be stretching those legs a little bit. That's what I'll often do in recovery time, is stretching those legs a little bit. When you're in recovery time, remember, the most powerful recovery time is if you're doing something but much less. And I have to tell you, after 30 seconds high intensity, that's all you feel like doing. When you're in recovery time, your liver converts that lactic acid back to pyruvate and feeds it into the powerhouse. You know what that means? When you're in recovery time, just twisting very slowly, you're burning just as much fuel as when you were running for your life. So that's exciting. But the other exciting thing is, when you're in recovery time, what's happening to your lactic acid, students? It's being mopped up. So can you see that this recovery time is absolutely essential to keep a check on your lactic acid levels? So what's happening to the person on the 5K jog? What's happening to their lactic acid levels? They're building up. And they can soar, yeah? So you look at children in the playground. They do interval training all the time. They run here, they run there. When I was at school, we did skipping. It's my turn to skip. Going for it. Now it's the next person's turn to skip. Hopscotch, throw the stones, hop in the squares, come back. Done my high intensity. Now next one. Basketball, soccer, you look at all the games, there's intervals of very high intensity, intervals of recovery. You go to the African plains, no animal jogs. They either run for their life or they're perfectly still. When I was in Africa, I bought a little book about a man who lived in Africa, 80 years ago, and they used to hunt. And he said, it's just incredible, you'll come across something you're hunting and they're perfectly still, but as soon as they hear a leaf crack or a stick, they're running for their life. They're the interval training. Let's go to their next set of high intensity. Your glycogen stores are being plucked because you're moving fast. Depending on the person, maybe by the third or fourth set of high intensity, we're running out of fuel. And the body says, we need more fuel. And so the pituitary gland releases the human growth hormone. The human growth hormone is active when you're growing because it's your growth hormone. But when you stop growing, it goes into retirement. But when you do this high intensity exercise and you're running out of glycogen stores, human growth hormone is released. And it activates hormone sensitive lipase. Hormone-sensitive lipase is an enzyme that breaks down fat stores. This week we've been looking at the breakdown of foods. We looked at sublingual lipase under the tongue that breaks down saturated fats. We looked at bile and also pancreatic lipase that breaks down polyunsaturated fats. So what does this lipase break down? It breaks down your fat stores. The human growth hormone also causes the body to stop burning glucose as fuel and become a fat burner. How so? Do you remember we looked at how glucose burns at 4 calories per gram and fat burns at 9 calories per gram? When you're moving, the body wants a little bit more efficient fuel supply. And so it starts burning fat as fuel. Because remember what a calorie is, it's a unit of energy. So when it's burning fat, it's getting more than twice the units of energy than glucose The human growth hormone also increases the body's ability to utilize protein. This week we've been looking at the importance of eating sufficient protein. We've been looking at the importance of keeping your hydrochloric acid nice and strong by leaving ideally 5 or 6 hours between the meal, drinking adequate water between the meals, chewing your meals well, having your lightest meal at the end of the day. Now we're looking at something else, and that is your high-intensity exercise causing a release of the human growth hormone increases your body's ability to utilize the protein. My son James, who he's a bodybuilder as a hobby, he says when you do that high intensity, you lay a bed of hot coals at the cellular level. And when you lay a bed of hot coals at the cellular level, you can sit at the table at breakfast and you can put the logs in. And when you've got a bed of hot coals in the fire, the more logs you put in, the brighter it burns. Is that right? So when you do your morning exercise and come and sit down, that fuel that you're putting in, that's going to burn bright. But how many people get up in the morning, a few steps to the bathroom, then a few steps to the table, they haven't laid a bed of hot coals at the cellular level, and they're putting the logs in, and they've got no energy. We need to lay that bed of hot coals early in the morning. That's the best time to exercise. And then you can fuel those hot coals. Dr. Doug McGuff says this. He says, if you want to eat, you've got to work for it. Isn't that true? The human growth hormone also increases the circulation of the blood to the skin. This slows down aging. The movie stars pay $1,000 a week for the human growth hormone because their business is dependent on them looking good. And as you can see, this helps a person to look good, slows down aging. Well, I'm offering it to you cut price today. 12 minutes of high-intensity exercise a day will cause a release of the human growth hormone, which will remain active for 24 hours. What a bargain. You see, the circulation of the blood to the skin means that your extremities will keep warm. And how many people today complain of cold feet, cold hands? When you exercise, and my friend Dr. Jonathan Gibbs, he told me this, he did a PhD on the effect of exercise on the cell. He said, Barbara, when you do this in the morning, you open a network of capillaries that equals the distance around planet Earth. I can hardly get my mind around that. That's getting that blood way out to the extremities, to the feet, to the hands. Increasing the circulation of the blood to the skin means that it slows down the aging, it slows down the wrinkling process. That's the good news. So this is all a result of doing this high-intensity interval training. You just got to work out what works for you. So let me show you the effect of the rebounder, because the rebounder is, I would quote Albert Carter here, who's seen as an expert on rebounding, the most effective exercise that you can do. But I want to show you why. Now, Albert Carter, back in the 80s, he was a famous trampolinist. He got married, had children, and his wife and his children used to do a trampolining show. They'd go around doing trampoline tricks. And he noticed that his little girl, she was only 4, but he could hold her feet, her ankles, and she could do one-arm push-ups. She was very strong. And his little boy, he was 7, and at school, he'd challenge other kids to push-ups whenever anyone picked on him. No one could meet him, 1,000 push-ups. And he thought to himself, why are my kids so strong? They're just so strong. I don't know if he ever looked in the mirror, but, you know, he was like a bodybuilder. And he did not do any lifting of weights. All he did was rebounding, trampolining. He went to investigate and he could not find any information on it until he went to NASA. And when he went to NASA, he discovered that they found that when their astronauts came back from outer space, they went into outer space very, very fit, and they came back home again with sometimes 20% muscle and bone loss in their strength. And they found that the only exercise that prepared them for outer space and reduced that loss of strength in muscle and bone and return them to full strength again. The only exercise was rebounding. So what Albert Carter did, he wanted to know more. Don't you love it when someone wants to know why? Investigate. And he discovered there are three forces that come together when you rebound or trampoline. And one is defying gravity. It's actually the only way you can get strength is defying gravity. You have a look at little babies. Within a couple of weeks of being born, they're trying to push their head up. And then they're trying to sit up. And then you lay them on the floor and they're pushing their bodies up. And then when they start crawling, they start getting up on the table. And you put them in the cot and they start jumping. You know the old saying, jump for joy? It seems to be inside of a child to up, up. What are they defying when they're doing that? They're defying gravity. And that's the only way we can get strength. Isn't that how people get strong from push-ups? They're pushing against gravity. And that's why the astronauts, they were better prepared for outer space. Because what's in outer space? Well, what is there? Nothing in outer space. There's no gravity. So you define gravity. Every time you leap up, you define gravity. Also, acceleration is the other force. So when you're jumping on the rebound, when you're going up, you're defying gravity and you're accelerating. But then you get to the tip and everything stops. Is that right? Then you experience deceleration. And then you're coming down. And when you're coming down, you're accelerating again. And then you hit... your feet hit the mat, deceleration. And then you jump up again and you're accelerating. Now this is happening, you know, in split seconds every time that you jump. And he found a quote from Einstein that says the body doesn't know any difference between those three forces. They all have a powerful effect on the body. And these three forces affect every single cell in the body. So there is no other exercise that affects every single cell in the body than rebounding, which means there is no part of your body that escapes the effect of rebounding. That's why if you're not used to it, you just start with the, in fact, this is what, when you, if you've never done rebounding, you just start like this, and then you start like this, and it feels so good. It's not long before you're going to want to leap. You put the kids on this. What do they do? And you can do so much. See how you can do this with your legs? And you can twist your body. You twist your body, then your spine is getting it. And if you want to strengthen your triceps, you jump like this with your hands out. And if you want to strengthen your biceps, you put your thumbs down. So you can see that you can do strengthening exercises. Can you see just that little bit? And I exercise every morning, so it takes quite a bit for me to get my breath up, but I have got a little bit of breath up just from doing that. Just that little bit. Albert Carter says 3 minutes, three times a day. There's nothing. I maintain that if every office had one of these and everybody that worked in the office did 1 minute every hour, I think they'd find that work would be finished by about 3 p.m. I think they would find that the productivity would immediately rise. Because when I say every single cell in the body, this is including the brain cells. So that's all very impressive. And that's why Albert Carter's children were so strong and all they did was rebound. Now, if you get one of these rebounders and children visit, where are they? They're on this rebounder. They love jumping. One lady said to me that she had three foster children and they'd been through a very terrible experience, and she had a trampoline. She said they would just trampoline for hours on end, and she believes, and I agree with her, that that helped them to cope with everything that they had been through. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and anything that moves blood increases the strength and health of every single cell in the body. Your blood system has a pump, and whether we sit or stand or run, the heart beats. Is that right? When you wake up in the morning and you've been lying in bed all night, it's still beating. But when you start running, it starts beating fast. And the heart is a muscle, and it's just like any other muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. My son Peter was training for a triathlon. He was running up and down the hills behind Brisbane. He's a Tyler. And he was dismantling a vanity unit in an old bathroom, and it was chipped and it slipped and it just hit his ankle. If he hadn't had a bone there, I think he would have just cut the foot off, and the blood hit the roof. And my son James was outside, and he said, "James, can you come here?" And apparently James said, "I'm on the phone, mate. I'm telling you this so that you know that it was a couple of minutes before James got in there." I think Peter said crisis or something. Now, when James ran into this bathroom, blood was splattered all over the roof, all over the walls. You see, Peter had a resting heart rate of 51 beats per minute because he was running up and down hills. His heart was so strong, and every beat was so powerful, that it didn't have to beat much. Now, if Peter's resting heart rate was 80 beats per minute, the blood wouldn't have hit the roof. The blood would have just gone boop, boop, boop. You see, this is not genetics. Your heart gets stronger the more you use it, and it pushes that blood, the life of the flesh, all through the body. Well, how does the blood get back? How does the blood get back up to the heart? You see, your venous system is coming back to your heart, but your arterial system is going away. Well, all around your blood capillary networks, this is venous and arterial, there are muscles. So when your heart pumps, there's a little bit of a reverberation all through, and that's why you can take your pulse and you can feel that bump, bump there because of that. But it gets less and less. That's why people get varicose veins, not varicose arteries, because coming back, the force isn't as strong. But you have a second heart, and that is your calf muscle. Your calf muscle is your second heart, and your calf muscle pumps that blood back. And there is no other exercise that stimulates your calf muscle more than your rebounder. In fact, some people, when they start rebounding, they can't do it for too long because their calf muscles get really sore because the calf muscles aren't used to being worked like that. So if someone's got varicose veins, this is the best exercise for them because their heart muscle is pumping their venous system back. You have another network of capillaries through your body called the lymphatic system. Most people know about their blood system, but not their lymphatic system. Your lymphatic system is your vacuum cleaner system. What's a vacuum cleaner? It's something that vacuums or sucks up waste. Well, your lymphatic system, it sucks up and sweeps away waste from your tissues. And it's like a little network of capillaries too, but it doesn't have a muscular system around it, and it does not have a pump. So the only thing that activates your lymphatic system is movement. And these capillaries are like little canals, and they have gates all the way along them. And they're one-way gates, obviously, because we don't want the waste to go back. They're one-way gates, and they only open when we're moving. There's only one exercise that opens this lymphatic system incredibly effectively to the point where all your whole lymphatic system's opening, and that is the rebounder. So when you start rebounding, when you go up to your peak and you're just hitting your first deceleration, every gate opens. And when your feet hit the mat, every gate closes. And when you're up at the peak again, every gate opens. So you're going open, shut, open, shut, open, shut. So just picture that when you're rebounding. And this can be happening 100 times in a minute, especially if you start jogging on the rebounder. Another way to really get your heart rate up is to leap as high as you can. And you might say, "Barbara, but I'm a little bit unstable on my feet." Well, you can buy these with frames. You can buy two side frames, or you can buy a front frame, or if you don't have a frame, you can put it near the veranda post. It's good to do it on the veranda because you're getting your fresh air, and your fresh air is very, very important when you're exercising. So it stimulates your lymphatic system. Now, if someone has very, very swollen legs, I think I told you about a lady that came with very swollen legs. I said to her, every hour, I just want you doing this. Now, one of the beauties of the Bellicon is you hardly have to put any effort. Can you tell I'm not putting any effort into this? I'm hardly moving at all, and yet I'm bouncing. Just that will stimulate your lymphatic system. Obviously, the more you leap and the more you bounce, the more it will activate. So this lady that had the swollen legs, I said, I want you to do that for 1 hour. Sorry. I want you to do that for 1 minute every hour. And do you remember what I said? By the end of the day, her legs had gone down by half. Remember, she was about to go on dialysis, so her kidneys weren't working really well, and your kidneys manage your sodium and your water levels in the body. So it was stimulating the lymphatic system. It's also stimulating the kidneys. There is no organ that misses out with the rebounder. Every single organ is affected. So it gets that lymphatic system moving. And we also looked at how one of the reasons people get sick is because of buildup of waste in the body, and the body's own microbes have to evolve into bacterial forms to clean up the waste. So if you can get your lymphatic system moving, remember what it's doing? It's your vacuum cleaner. It's vacuuming your house every day. If you can get that lymphatic system moving so that your house is getting a house clean every day, can you see that you can prevent a lot of diseases by doing that? What your lymphatic system does is it sweeps away waste from the tissues. They get dumped into your lymph nodes, which are under your arms, in your neck, the main ones, in your groin. In there are lymphocytes, which are a type of white blood cell. So the waste is dealt with, dumped into your blood, and then your blood goes and takes it out, I think at the moment, by your sweat glands when you're having your steam bath. It's also emptied in the bathroom by your colon. Also, your urine is taking out waste. It's an amazing system, the way the body's been designed to constantly house clean. Can you see that when people don't exercise, don't rebound, don't drink enough water, no wonder so many people are sick? And I love the way it is so simple, implementing these simple things. Something else that can the rebounder can help, and that is balance. A lot of people say my balance is not good. Now, your balance is set by the bottom of your feet and the intricate little mechanisms in your ears. So when you rebound, and if you're not sure, remember, just start like this, and if you need to get something to hold on to, certainly do. But when you're rebounding, the bottom of your feet and your mechanisms, your ears, are constantly adjusting. It helps with your balance. And, of course, the better you get at it, the higher you can leap. You'll get to the point where you can't wait to get on your rebounder because it makes you feel so good. So this is telling you something else. It's affecting your mood. It gets your serotonin levels up, which is your feel-good hormone. But it can also help your eyesight. Now, everyone's interested in this. So I'm sure after the break, sometimes there's a bit of a stampede in the break, everyone wanting to try this out. When you're rebounding, doing your jump, and even if you can't jump, just do your jig, focus on something. So right now here, I might focus on the leaf that's inside the room. And as I'm focusing on the leaf, everything around me in my peripheral vision jumps. And then after 10 jumps, I'll change my focus to the pine needles on the tree outside. And as I'm focusing on those pine needles, the leaf on the plant inside, it'll be jumping. And every 10 jumps, change your focus, change your focus, change your focus to things in the house, to things outside the window. I've got some hanging pots on my veranda, so I focus on the hanging pots, and then after 10 jumps, I focus on the tree behind it, and then the hanging pots jumping like this. So when you constantly are changing your focus, that strengthens the short and long range muscles in your eyes to strengthen your eyesight. I've got a lady, she told me this story. She said she has a friend who's a jeweler and he was just starting to wear glasses, his early 40s. And she saw him a few months later and he wasn't wearing glasses when he was working. She said, "I thought you were wearing glasses." He said, "I started rebounding. I started doing the change focus and," he said, "it strengthened my eyesight and I don't need the glasses anymore." There's an excellent book called Better Eyesight Without Glasses by Dr. William Davis, and he shows how simple things you can strengthen your eyes. And the last chapter is a summary of the whole book. And the last chapter really goes through these 8 laws of health. Nourishing food, you've got to keep well hydrated, you've got to go to bed and sleep every night. But what he doesn't mention, because the book was written in the 50s, is you've got to reduce your technology time. We've got so many children today with eye problems because by the age of 11, your muscles, your short and long range acting muscles in your eyes are set. And so children today are having overuse of short range, meaning they're on the screens too much, and not enough use of the long range. In fact, in the newspaper about 3 months ago, one of the main newspapers in Australia, this would be early 2019, front page said children can't jump anymore. And when you investigate, children are on iPads and, you know, devices so much that they're not exercising. And the strength that we enjoy in our 40s, 50s, 60s is actually set up when we're children. So isn't that interesting? So parents, put some strict rules on those devices and get a trampoline and a rebounder. Trampoline for the kids and a rebounder for the adults inside. And when it's raining, the kids can do a little bit on the rebounder inside. So I trust you've been inspired and enthused to seriously consider getting a rebounder in your home. Do you know why I love it? Rain, hail or shine, it's there. And one lady said, "Oh, I'll just use the trampoline." But you know what you find? You just never get out there. And when it's raining, you won't go out there. And when it's too hot, you won't go out there. Leave that for the kids. But in the house, you'll access it and you'll use it, and it doesn't take up much room. And if you haven't got much room in your home, you can put it on its side and just put it behind a chair. I think it's the most important, one of the most important devices that every home should have.
AG1 delivers daily nutrients and supports gut health. It's time to invest in you.